5, 4, 3, 2.
Yo, what's up, everyone? You're listening to the 61st episode of True to Size.
And you heard that. What's going on, everyone, and welcome to episode 61 of True 61. To Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I am joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul, Joel Hernandez.
Yo.
And Alvin Martinez.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? You good?
Good.
Always.
Just for anybody listening, we just basically hashed out all the plans for Shoe Haul 2 Haul.
Shoe Haul 2 Haul.
So, if you're listening to this, you're getting the insider info of absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Just know it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming, and it's coming hard as. So I'm assuming you guys watched the game on Sunday.
Woo.
I caught a glimpse of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I just watched the last few seconds.
The Jays game, right?
Yeah.
Jays.
There was like a home run or something like that. So there's two eras in Toronto now, obviously. There's before the Kawhi shot and after the Kawhi shot. So I think we're going to start our episode count over, because we're now in the new era. So welcome to episode 1 of True to Size, everybody.
AK. True to Size, AK. After Kawhi.
After Kawhi.
On the reels, though, it may be a quick episode today. We do have some good content for our segments, but we're going to have only a brief discussion, I think, this week about hype, H-Y-P-E.
Woo.
Everyone's favorite topic of discussion. But first, Alvin.
Fire round.
Nice. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from, you may have heard of him. He might not even remember he submitted this question, at Mr. Q-Mart.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Nice. When did I submit a question?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just scrolled down the document and I was like, oh, Alvin asked a question.
Oh, true.
To his own podcast. This week's question comes from at Mr. Q-Mart from Milton, Ontario. He asks,
hello, hello.
Was there ever a shoe you bought for the hype, and once the hype died down, you regretted copying them? He said he got this from another podcast called Outside the Box Podcast.
You couldn't warn me? I don't know my answer to this.
Good question.
Well, you're asking it, I would assume.
Did I give an answer?
No, you didn't. I didn't ask you.
Damn it.
7 months ago when you asked the question.
Was it 7 months ago?
I don't know. It was a long time. So I thought about it. Thank goodness somebody thought about it. Not that you guys knew it was coming. I can only think of one. I'm sure there's more, and I think that obviously there are shoes that you sell down the road, and there are shoes that you're like, you know what, I don't like this as much anymore, but I don't know if it's necessarily the hype dying down. So the only, like, the most recent memory I have of a shoe that I bought because I was just, like, super hyped about it was actually the Kendrick Lamar Cortez.
Oh.
The Kung Fu Kenny. This, I think it's the second one or the third one.
Yeah.
The one that at the livestock pop up.
The black one.
The black one. Yeah. So like, I love Kendrick Lamar. I really wanted the first and the second one. So the first one was the one that said "damn" stitched in the side of the white Cortez, and then he did the red one, which was also really cool.
Yeah.
The black one I didn't really like, but I went down for the hoodie because I really wanted that when livestock hoodie. Did the pop up. I really wanted the "damn" hoodie.
The hoodie.
So that was actually when we went down. It was me and Jill went down, and I took a time lapse video of the line, and like livestock saw it, and they were like, yo, if you're here, like, let us know, and you want to come in the store, like, just hit us up. And I was like,
jeez.
Well, shit, I'm not waiting in this 4-hour line, so that's good. That's good that I can come inside.
Crazy.
So I got to skip the line, and I was inside, and at that point I was like, well, shit, now I'm in here first, like, before it opens. I just gotta fucking buy everything now. So I bought the hoodie, I bought Jill the hat, like the damn hat.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, give me the damn shoe.
Nice.
Whatever, just give me the shoe. So I spent like $400 that day. That was not good choice. And like I said, I didn't really care for the Cortez all that much, but like, it was one of those, like, in the moment, like, I got invited into the store beforehand, so I was like, shit, give me the shoe.
Might as well.
I've still never wore them. It's been almost a year, I think.
Wow.
Haven't worn them yet, but I don't know. It's kind of a sentimental pair as well, because that's a cool memory. But yeah, so that might be the only one that the hype died down, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have bought this, but I don't know if it's a regret so much as a just like, why did you do that?
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Shoot. Oh, man. Not that it was a regret, because it was like a really good price for it, but like
the Sean's,
those Air Force ones right there.
What are you pointing at?
Which one? The Raf? Was it? Is it? It's not Raf Simons. It's
Ricardo Tichy.
The Tichy Air Force
ones. Yeah. You regret those? The Vachetta Tan, one you have.
Not that I regret them, because they're a dope shoe, and the price was amazing. But it was just like after wearing them once or twice, I was just like.
You don't really wear Air Forces in general, right? You're not really Air Force guy.
Like, even the Air Forces that I scooped from X-Lube, I'm getting rid of those too.
Yeah. It's funny because
those. It's like a mood.
Do you still have the Tichy?
No, I got rid of those a while ago.
Because that would be because you dress like business cash now. That might be a cool look.
It's too bulky.
Oh, true. So you just kind of bought it because the price was good and you were like, yo, this is a hype shoe.
It is a hype, and it was dope. Like, I love the Vanchetta. Like, the quality was beautiful.
And there was hype surrounding that. There was resale on that shoe. Like, there's
still resale on it, yeah.
What is he? Riccardo Tisci's former creative director of Givenchy.
Givenchy.
Because I know all about designer.
Givenchy.
Like, former creative director or something like that of Givenchy. So yeah, there was a lot of hype around that shoe. Retail was like super high.
Yeah.
And I guess you kind of sat on it for a bit.
Because it was hype. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was like, why are these why do I have them?
True.
And I guess I needed money at the time, but like right now, it's just like, meh. Mm. Like, it's a dope shoe. It's just for me, it's meh. It wasn't worth the.
What did you pay for them?
Half price.
Like, maybe what, $150 bucks?
Yeah. It was an outlet shoe, I think.
Yeah, you got it from the outlet. I remember that. Yeah.
So it's dirt cheap. But like, yeah, I don't know.
What about you, Joe? Oh, you have those too. I just noticed that you.
That's why I was pointing. That's why I'm pointing at the box.
You have
like,
them too? Is it the Vachetta Tan one?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you had those. I guess that means you don't wear them enough.
Don't wear them enough. No. I don't know. I guess for me, it would probably be, I forget what year it was, but it's when they dropped the Grape Fives.
Oh, okay.
I think I picked up two pairs.
Like in like 2005 or whatever it was?
No.
Or like the more recent one?
Like recent?
Yeah.
Okay. Recent. Yeah.
Not the one with the Nike Air, but one with
the one before that. Giants. Yeah.
Mm.
And I picked up like two pairs, multiple pairs. Cause I was like, yo, this is going to fly. And then they just sat. I ended up selling them for like retail.
So you just bought them cause you were like, yo, I need this.
Yeah, man.
It's been like 10 years since they've come out.
Yeah. And then I looked at them like, I don't know if I'm going to wear these.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You can't really, if you're a runner's guy, you're probably not a fives guy.
Yeah.
And the other way around.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I kind of want the black
metallic. I still want them.
I feel like that's for a different reason.
Like, I just need it.
Isn't that just a fresh prince reason? Yeah.
I mean, the grapes would be too, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he wore the grapes, but it's just like, I don't know, man. I've had this weird thing about black shoes recently.
Yeah.
I used to never wear fucking black shoes, ever.
I still don't like black shoes.
Like, the only black shoes I've worn were, like, black cements and breads other than that. Mm-hmm. Like, bread fours other than that. Yeah. It's like, I rarely wear black shoes. Mm-hmm. But, like, recently it's been a thing because, like...
I think you're getting old.
I know, bro. For real.
You're turning into black shoes, and then they're going to start to turn into black Monarchs, and they're going to start to turn into black Skechers, and then all of a sudden...
No. It won't be Skechers.
They're going to transition.
It's going to transition.
The like, New Balance Lolo 623s, shoes. Bro. Yeah. 623s, man.
What did you guys think of the most recent Grape 5 while we're on Grape 5 topic? The Nike Air and the
Fresh Prince Laces ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those ones.
What were your guys' thoughts? I think it was a pick recently, but I feel like they kind of flopped. Like, I think we picked it when images first came out.
We didn't like it.
And we weren't sure about it, and then they came out and kind of flopped.
I think they needed to have the lace holes.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It was really weird that they didn't have lace holes.
Because, like, yo, if you're doing a homage to Fresh Prince, he wore them... Without laces.
Yeah, they weren't a slip-on. But
the lace holes were still there.
They made the Jordan 5 a slip-on.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And then it looks stupid without the lace holes. It looked fake. It looked like you didn't finish the product.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw someone put lace holes in them, though.
Yeah, I saw people punching them out. Yeah.
And they look so much better. I'm like, oh, yeah.
It just makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't... Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
That's weird.
Cool. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up, we have the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's phrase,
Super cute.
Nice. You know what? I'm going to go first this week. I never go first, and I'm tired of listening to you guys go first. So my pick this week is a Jordan 1, because we don't get many of those anymore, so I figured we should throw one in the CGS picks.
Yes.
My pick is the Jordan 1 Satin Black Toe Edition. So Jordan Brand is bringing back the satin iteration of another classic Jordan model. This time it's the Black Toe. So if you're not familiar with the Black Toe, I'm not going to explain it. You need to just wake up. So this is going to be a women's only release, similar to the Shattered Backboards. Yeah. How they were also a women's only release. And I like these. I actually really like these. I wasn't a fan of the Shattered Backboard. I think the last one that I actually was a fan of was the Bread, which I think was the first
one.
The Bread
was really good too.
Yeah. And I think those ones actually came in men's. I think Bread and Royal also came in men's. But it's funny because I actually like the satin Black Toe better than the regular Black Toe. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because the Black Toe was a little bit plain for me. Like, at least Bread's has a little bit more red. Mm. Like, this is very plain to me. So I don't know. I'm a fan of this. I like the look of the blacked out wings logo on the heel. And for me, these are cute though, because they're women's, and I don't want to take away a shoe from the ladies.
True.
If I don't want it that bad.
Facts.
So I'm gonna call it cute.
Super facts.
And I'm gonna be humanitarian and allow the ladies their shot as they deserve.
They do deserve it.
True. Next up, let's do Joel. What you got?
Okay, so what I got is Asics. I got the Sneaker Freaker Asics Gelite 3 Tiger Snake.
That's a freaky sneaker.
Yeah, man. It's, I don't know. They did really good on these. It's like the buttery, it's like a leather, like plush.
It's like very supple.
Supple this is leather. Supple. Yes. Perforated brown tan leather with the pink underbelly. It's supposed to be like the tiger snake. The medial side is like the 3M pink. The heels,
toe box there.
Yeah, it's it's on the toe like box
the,
as well.
The swoosh thing or whatever the ASICS logo is called.
Yeah, it's on the medial side of the shoe. It's like a 3M pink. It just pops on the outer. It's got the. It continues on with the beige with the tan leather as well. On the heel, it's got like a black nubuck on the heel counter.
Oh, is it nubuck? That's
cool. And it's got the Gelite 3 in like gold.
Yeah.
Jeez. Speckled of pink, black midsole. The pink just carries on the outsole as well.
Because they're cool.
They're pretty dope. They're pretty
dope.
And
the box is very cool too.
Yeah. The box is like super limited though.
Oh yeah?
I guess you have to like enter, like you have to go on Sneaker Freaker. And you got to enter your email. And then if you get chosen, you get the box, like box. Yeah.
That's sick.
Release date is apparently on May 23rd, give or take. Give or take. So yeah, look out for that, man. These are super cute for me.
Super cute?
Super cute.
You know what these look like? These remind me of the Breezies. They look a lot like the Breezy LeBron 15.
Oh, the Breezy.
They don't look like the Yeezys. To me, they look like the Breezies.
The Breezy.
Easy Breezy, beautiful.
Let's go to the Breezy.
Yeah, very breezy. Yeah. Next up, Alvin, your pick.
Yeah, please, man.
Sir. Or picks, I guess, maybe.
I guess so, my picks, multiple. Because it's two pairs.
It is two pairs. You've been cheating on CGS picks for a while now. You kind of do like two picks.
It's out of the pack.
Or the pack.
Hey,
I like talking about shoes. It's what you do.
If only you had an outlet to talk about shoes for an hour every week, huh?
What the hell do we do? Got to think about that, Lawrence. We got to get on that stuff.
One day.
Do it.
I'll do it next week.
So mine are the Air Jordan 11 snakeskin samples that were first revealed by our boy Drake,
friend of the show.
Yeah, he'll be on the pod soon. Don't worry about it, guys.
I think that's like the February 29th pod. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Facts. February 29th, 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it'll drop.
Something like that.
So essentially, these are mid or high. I guess you can say high.
I guess it's considered high.
I guess these would be high because they're not low.
No mid. There's a low.
They're not low.
They're not low.
So these are high Air Jordan 11s with the snake skin. They feature a 45 on the back as homage to, obviously, Jordan's comeback season in 1995. Mm-hmm. And one shoe features a pink snakeskin, which is dope. Like, I'm a huge fan of the Lows. Mm. I just never purchased them because I don't think low. I look good in Lows, especially 11s.
You look good in anything, man.
Yeah, man.
Stop it.
You should buy Lows. You
should do it.
No, it's okay. I got to save up for the shit.
the highs.
Exactly. And then the other one features like a gray and like, I guess, off-white or... and
sail
snakes sail. That's what I was like. Thank you, Lawrence.
Off-white.
A sail snakeskin.
Off white, no Virgil.
Both are dope as f. Unfortunately, these are still samples. If I had to pick one to scoop, it would definitely be the pink ones.
True,
because of the Cameron,
Killer Cam
vibe. But if you have $12,500, you can hit up Index in Portland and they'll have pairs for you.
True. I have some of that.
Two pairs.
Yeah. So the sale ones are cute. And then if I had $12,500, the pink ones would be a scoop.
If I had $12,500, I would not be buying these, to be real.
Well, I would hope that I would have more than just $12,500.
No, if I had
I was just spending this.
If I had exactly $12,500, then I would.
Yeah. If I had $12,500, I'd buy a real snake.
I'd buy some new skin, actually.
Like a pink snake.
Oh, there was a cool meme. It was an old man getting rid of his old pair of Monarchs and putting his foot into a new pair. And it was like, you're seeing here a middle-aged gentleman shedding his skin and... and growing a new one. And I was like, oh, this is so good. Is that a pair of Monarchs or like New Balance 623s? Like, but I can't remember. But it was so funny.
Daddy-ish?
Yeah.
Zaddy-ish?
I laughed really hard because I was like, man, this is so true.
Daddy-ode. next up, this week in Kicks, now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. Got a couple pretty good articles here for everybody. Yeah. So first up is actually very cool. I'm glad we're leading with this one. 60% of North Americans are wearing the wrong size, and Nike is trying to fix that. Just as a precursor, when I worked at Sivuplay, on the wall, it said, I think that same thing, actually. Like 75% of shoes purchased in Canada are the wrong size. Please try on your shoes.
Yeah.
Or said, like, are bought too small. And they used the wrong two on a huge sign. It said T-O, not T-O-O.
Oh,
embarrassing. Sivuplay, get your act together.
Gosh.
Anyways, that's just like a side note. We're going to cut that out of the episode anyways. So according to Nike, 60% of people at any given time are walking around in the wrong shoe size. And 500,000 people complain about buying the wrong shoe size every year. And that's just in North America. We have one of the smaller populations globally, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. So Nike has introduced their newest app called Nike Fit to try and fix this. So this is very, very cool. If anyone listening has not heard of it, when I'm done speaking about this, please look it up. And if you're in America, download the app. Mm-hmm. So a foot scanning solution already integrated into the Nike app. And it's going to follow a very basic and easy steps to let Nike Fit scan your feet with the phone's camera. And from the 13 data points it collects, it'll deliver you the exact shoe size you should wear per silhouette.
Okay, wow. I was going to say.
Which is very important.
You need that.
Yeah.
So like we know, retros run bigger, runners run smaller, all that kind of thing. So just based on scanning your foot, it knows what size you should wear in any particular shoe.
Yeah.
Which That's is very, very cool.
Crazy.
So what do you guys think of this? Like, coming from, especially Alvin, someone who worked at a shoe store, like, what do you think about this potentially going to the mainstream?
This would be amazing.
Yeah.
Especially if I still worked at a shoe store, because it would take out, like, all the headaches that you would get from people who thought they knew their size, came back the next day with beat-ass, worn-ass shoes, and trying to return them.
Because they don't fit.
Because they don't fit.
Quote, unquote.
And what did I tell you to do? Try on the fucking shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do? I'm not going to do the accent. You told me you were good. So, no, you're not returning. Like, it's just, if it works, because for myself, like, I could range from a size 10 to a 12.
But it knows.
Depending on the shoe.
Yeah.
That's why I love that They're like, depending on like, for each silhouette you'll get. So yeah, like man.
The screenshot that I saw, basically after you scan your shoe, it has a little like carousel at the bottom, I guess, where you can swipe through. So you'll click like blazer and it'll show 10.5, and you'll swipe and click Jordan 3 and it'll say 10 or whatever. Yeah. Like it'll show you based on the shoe.
Air Force 1, 9.5.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's pretty dope, man.
Boost 8. But yeah, I think it's really cool. Like you said, like working in a shoe store, I think a lot of people don't understand that those foot measuring devices are not made by any brand.
No.
So for that foot measuring device made by friggin' like some Chinese corporation in Asia says you're a size 9, that doesn't mean that you're a Nike size 9 and an Adidas size 9 and an everything size 9. Like that's why I always hated people trying like using that in the first place. Like you have to try on the shoe regardless. And the other pet peeve while we're on this is grown ass men / women coming in wearing shoes asking, can I get this? And I say, what size? And they'll say, oh, I don't know what size I am. You're 39 years old wearing a pair of shoes on your feet. What size are those? And what size have you been for the last 29 years? Like, have you not bought shoes since you were 18? Like, no. I just don't get it.
Wow.
It's like walking into a t-shirt store and saying, I don't know what size my t-shirt is. Like, they're going to say, okay, figure it out. They're not going to be like, hey, let me measure your friggin' shoulder to shoulder.
True.
That's crazy.
True.
Huge pet peeve. Like, I hated it. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
So hopefully this fixes it.
Your kid size.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Your kids are growing.
Let me measure your kid's size. That's fine.
Yeah. That's whatever. Even still, they're gonna have to try the shoe on because they're all gonna fit differently anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't know your own size. Like you wear shoes every day. You know how to check it.
Sometimes.
Like 7 out of 7 days a week, you should be wearing shoes probably.
Or chinelas, whichever one.
Which also have a size.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Anyways, I could rant about this. We could do a whole episode just on retail. Shoe retail problems. Bro, I know. Until you work in shoe retail, there's a lot of things that you think people would know the answer to that they don't.
How are you a size large in shoes?
No. How do I know what your size is? Don't ask me, can I get my size?
Yeah.
It looked to be about a 9 there, but let me get you that. Trust me, man. There's
a lot.
We should do another sneaker heading for dummies just based on
like sizes.
Sneaker retail. Just in general. Like we'll get like somebody who works at a shoe store on with us. We'll get Arvin back on. Because he's still currently in the shits. Like in the trenches working at a shoe store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, people are just brutal. If anyone who listens to this podcast doesn't know their size, stop listening. Sorry, I'll take the L on your stats. Stop it.
Luckily, everyone's a sneakerhead,
so they should know.
They should know. Or at least a range. You don't have to know the exact size because depending on silhouette, clearly it's different.
But yeah, it's fine. Or a new silhouette comes out, you don't know.
And
yet.
It can't be 8 to 13.
That used to be my size. But then I grew. Now I'm just a 9. So yeah, you guys think this is pretty cool? Like it kind of just defeats the purpose of shoe salesman in the first place. Like overall, you can just walk in, you know your size, you don't need to, realistically, you don't really need to try it on except for comfort.
Yeah.
And you can walk out after asking for it. It's kind of like fast food now. Like you know your size, you know what you want, just give it to me in the size and I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are for the people who don't like talking to people.
It's me.
True.
Just kidding. Do this all day. So yeah, pretty cool. But once again, it's in the Nike app, and we don't have that in Canada because if anyone globally listening doesn't know, Canada's actually on a different planet than the US of A. So we don't
the
get
north.
Yeah, the northernmost planet. So anything that crosses the border just turns to dust.
Yeah,
like it gets Thanos snapped and it's gone. Good one. Next up, so Supreme's studded Air Jordan 14 was revealed in black and royal. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and do, I did it last week too. I'm going to try and do a Toronto This Week in Kicks every week. Mm-hmm. Something related to Toronto. Like last week I did Travis Scott's, this week we're going to do this. And if you didn't get it, yes, this is Toronto news and you'll see why. So last week, Joel's pick actually was the white and red white and red Supreme 14s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a poop for all of us.
Yep.
For the entire world, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So over the weekend, we just saw the black and royal version come out. Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you see where it came from?
Yes.
Mr. ODTO himself, Shaheen, actually broke the internet.
Broke it.
With that leaked photo. I don't know how, like, I don't know. We should have asked it when he was on the pod, but how do you go through the process of buying a shoe that doesn't even exist?
That's like, Shaheen.
Yeah, like, it doesn't exist. There was no leaked photos or anything anywhere on the internet, but somehow he purchased it.
He knows.
Like, and it's real. I'm assuming. It's, yeah. Okay, it's definitely real. I'm not even assuming. It's definitely real. Like, I trust him with my life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so obviously the photos were plastered all over the internet. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of places did not give credit. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No, they didn't.
Yeah,
they didn't.
Like, when I was looking for stories this week, it was on Soul Collector and they credited the wrong person.
Yeah.
But yeah, so very cool that that came from our very own ODTO. So if you see that picture of the black and blue 14s anywhere on the internet, just know where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our little small mom and pop shop in Toronto.
Yeah, they're not that big.
ODTO.
Yeah.
They've only been on TV and people plaster their kawaii mural.
Yeah.
Everyone's
some
on TV
guy.
Everywhere. TV ain't nothing.
Some fun guy.
Some fun guy. Some fun guy. Beside the fun store.
It's literally beside a fun store. Yeah.
So last up, I don't know if you guys saw this, Sneaker Politics in New Orleans ran a golden ticket promotion for their Travis Scott ones. Did you guys see this?
What?
No, yeah. No. What's up?
So Sneaker Politics, which is in New Orleans, like I said, ran a, had its own little collaboration on the Air Jordan 1 low, like
the
skateboard looking one. So it's
sexy.
The same, the those exact same as the one that came out, but it has the, yeah, the Sneaker Politics P logo on it, which is pretty cool. I guess it was an official collaboration, so hey, it counts. I would take it if it was me. So,
same.
But they released 504 pairs at their block party, which was sponsored by Jordan Brand. So,
of course,
pretty limited. But inside, a couple—I don't know how many. I'm assuming for their entire stock of Travis Scott ones, there was a ticket. They had there was an earthquake upstairs. They had golden tickets in the boxes for some people who were able to purchase. Than the Travis Scott's the weekend after or whatever.
Sick.
If they were to win.
It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, same idea, except you had to spend another $300 or whatever, $250 to buy another shoe.
And instead of getting the factory, you got a shoe that you had to pay for.
Instead of you winning Willy Wonka's factory, you won the right to buy a shoe.
Facts.
What do you guys think? Do you think that people were buying this shoe just to try and get access to the Travis Scott's or... Do you think that's a little bit extreme to spend $150 to $200 just for a chance? Would you guys do that?
No. Well, I personally like that shoe.
Yeah, but if you didn't like it, if you were just in it for the Travis Scott's.
So did they know that that was what's going on?
I think they announced
it. Or was it announced after the fact?
I'm pretty sure they announced it beforehand that select pairs will give you access to Travis Scott's.
Oh. It would have been a win-win for me even if I didn't get the Travis's. I honestly like that specific pair.
I like it too.
I like the
it's very clean
too, with like the gum and the pink. Oh,
yeah,
it just goes so well. So like for me, and then if you got the like, it's a win win for you either way because it's an exclusive Sneaker Politics.
Yeah,
even though it's technically the same
shoe,
it's pretty much the same shoe with a P on the back, but
beep beep.
It's like really limited, and it's like you got to go to a block party. Who gets to go to block parties nowadays?
Not us
with sneakers.
Not us again
with Sneaker Politics. That's sponsored by Jordan. So, I mean, I feel like it's a win-win. Yeah, you spend a little bit extra if you win the Travis's, but.
Yeah, like, I don't think anyone was complaining if they did win. I just, I'm wondering, do you think people who didn't care for the shoe, didn't want the Jordan 1 low, were still buying it for the chance?
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
You think so? Yeah.
For sure.
That's an expensive gamble, man.
Some people just have money,
guys, bro. Yeah, they would just flip it anyways.
True. Yeah, just if flip they didn't get the Sneaker Politics pair or whatever.
Yeah.
Damn, I wish I had that kind of money to be able to buy two Jordan 1s.
Sheesh.
To buy a shoe, to buy a shoe. That's crazy.
Right?
The hype just does crazy things. That's a little...
segue.
Not quite, but almost. Yeah.
Almost.
Like a little...
that's a segue.
Yeah. That's me on my segue. Sliding into your DMs like...
Lawrence Blart.
Blart.
Please. Or mall cop.
Mall cop. Police cop. I think all police are cops.
Police popo.
We need to get off of this right now. Next up is Previously in Kicks. This is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. So all three of us actually were lucky enough to get a very generous gift from one of the listeners. So hopefully he's listening right now. Good friend of the show, Nate.
Nate.
Don't remember his last name. From Vectored Souls.
Nate.
So he sent us custom prints of some shoes that we discussed on the show pairs that we really, really
were our
grails.
High.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That we called our grails, and he vectored them.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. And sent them over. Really good quality stuff. Mm-hmm. I think as much as I love the print, my favorite part is that sticker. Because his catchphrase or whatever you want to call his slogan, Just drew it. That's really good, man. That's so really cool. Like, super kudos to you, because that's really good. I don't know if you coined that or not, but that's clutch.
Yeah, man.
So thank you for those prints, for sending those over. If you haven't yet, please take a look at his Instagram page. It's just at Vectored Souls. He's a good local Canadian boy. Mm-hmm. We also were blessed by Under Armour.
We were.
This week. Alvin, what did you get?
We got the Curry 6 International Boulevard. Really dope shoe. It's navy, essentially.
It's like navy and what is it? Like
with an accent of like a vaulty yellow.
Like a pale green almost.
Yeah, like, really, really dope. Like, and then like so on the midsole, it's like a little bit of like a charcoal-ish.
Dark, deep gray.
Yeah. But like the colors just go super, super sexy and really simple colorway, but like just the hints of yellow just help to bring it all together and just make it a pop. Really, really dope shoe.
What was the inspiration behind it?
So the inspiration, yes, nice. I does. Well,
he knows.
We were sent the info, and I would love to read it to you because I personally liked.
But now you know, so it's your info now.
This is like my favorite part of like a shoe is if there's like a story behind it.
Oh, for sure. You already know. Under Armour's been good with that stuff this year. All the Curry 6s
Curry 6s. Yeah, man. Even the Curry 5s, I feel, that has a story. So since 2009, Stefan has watched Oakland evolve. The city has had its struggles and its successes, and nowhere is that more evident than an International Boulevard. The thoroughfare formerly named East 14th Street stretches from Lake Merritt. I've been there.
Nice.
Lake Merritt's pretty dope. To Melrose, one of Stefan's favorite drives. He says, I used to live on Lake Merritt. Oh, he did? Ooh. Bro, maybe I walked by you. you weren't famous yet. I don't know. I used to live on Lake Merritt, and by 4:30 p.m., I'd get in the car and try getting to the arena. And 880 South, which is a highway, would be bumper to bumper, said Curry. So I usually drove down International Boulevard and would see the evolution of the city every time I got into the car.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Which is dope, man, because like even from when I used to visit Oakland, and it's just changed a lot, and it's a dope city to visit.
Definitely been gentrified like crazy.
Yeah. Lake Merritt's pretty cool. I don't know. I just love San Fran area, man. It's dope. And the shoes are amazing. So thank you, Under Armour.
Thank you very much, Under Armour Canada.
You already know I love the Curry 6s. So
yeah, that's all he balls in now, everybody.
True. Yep.
He sold all his Kobe's.
Nope. Still got those two.
Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time, we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM, and we will let the world know that we goofed. So before we get to our mistakes, because people love to tell us about those, let's get to an e-message first from good buddy, Tim.
Timothy Persaud.
Very good friend of the show. Mr. Tim. Yep. Mr. T.
Timbo.
If you will. Timbo Slice. Timbo.
Justin Timberlake.
Ooh, that's a good one. So he says, "What up, CGS?" I'm assuming that's a question. Nothing's up, Tim. Nothing much. How about you? Just wanted to email the homies to say that the podcast has been great, and I'm always excited to see a new episode pop up. Not being involved with sneakers like I used to be, and trust me, he was very involved.
He was, man.
Tuning in every week helps me stay connected to the community and at least somewhat aware of what's going on with the hobby. You all keep things fresh, and the love you have for sneakers and each other keeps me coming back. Oh, and each other. I
love you too, Tim.
Wow. He talks about all love for each other. That's so cute. He says, congrats on 60 episodes. Can't wait for the next 60. And then he attached a selfie of himself to the email on top of a mountain in Utah.
Wow. Yep.
And he said, you ever think you're podcast would be listened to here. And then he sent the picture.
Yeah.
No, Utah. I did not.
Crazy. Wow.
I didn't think anyone would ever listen to this in Canada.
Only in Australia.
Apparently only in Australia, our and Australians who moved to London also.
Yeah.
Also listen to it. Thank you, Timbo.
Yeah,
that's
word.
A very, very cool sentiment.
Love you, bro.
So next up, speaking of the fact that people listen to this podcast from everywhere, comes from Gareth Tilly, a.k.a. Highbrow Sneakers, out of London.
London.
London. So this is like potentially, probably, unofficially, the longest EEE ever.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I didn't read it because it was so long.
Oh, no.
So this is like a four-point essay with like supporting arguments and like cited.
Okay.
It's like crazy. Wow. Yeah.
You have to read it in an accent. No, I'm just
it's
joking.
Honestly too long. Like I would get bored of making the joke of the accent. Not that the accent is a joke. So just as a backstory, this is about, I wasn't here, but it's about the conversation that you guys had regarding Virgil's copyright law
with Rasta Klot.
So Gareth is actually a lawyer.
Mm?
Yo.
And the sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Lawyer/sneakerhead, wow. Not the other way around.
Lawyer first, sneakerhead.
Lawyer first, sneakerhead, because he's a lawyer, so he can afford it.
Facts.
True.
Very cool.
See you, bro.
That's nice,
man. Maybe that's why it's highbrow, because he's like, you know, he's up there, bro.
Yeah.
Nice. Highbrow. I like that name.
It's pretty cool.
That's a good IG name. Anyways, I digress. I just really don't want to read this. That's why I'm delaying. He says, "Dear CGS crew, I'm writing with a contribution to your EEE segment on the topic of the off-white Rasta Klot trademark infringement claim discussion on your show last week. If I recall correctly, there was some negative sentiment expressed about the prospect of people owning the rights to quotation marks and red zip ties and the like. And I think the discussion may have taken place under a misunderstanding about how trademark law works."
Yes.
I agree, because we don't know
what works.
Thank you.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So he then goes on to say, "When somebody applies for a trademark, the application has to be made in relation to a particular category of goods or services and will only be approved if it is for the sort of trademark that distinguishes the applicant's goods from other companies, other people's in that category."
Ooh.
Are we still caught up with everything? Okay.
English, please.
"That is," I think this is him breaking it down now, "that is, you are not allowed to get a trademark for something people would commonly want to use themselves in relation to the particular class of goods or services." Does that make sense?
Yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
still on the same page? I think he's starting to lose me, but I think I'm good so far.
No, I got it.
So to give you an example, if my logo was a picture of a guitar, I could probably register it as my trademark if I sold cars.
Yes.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
Because it's unlikely anyone else would want to use a picture of a guitar to sell a car. Now we're rhyming and shit. And
bars.
It would distinguish my product from the others.
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not be allowed to register a picture of a guitar as a trademark
to sell a guitar.
For musical instruments.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. So now he's going to bring it full circle here.
Ooh.
This is kind of, now we're in the middle of the essay. So with Virgil, I imagine that he has registered quotation marks and zip ties in relation to class 25 clothing, footwear, and headgear.
True.
He knows the classes of trademarks,
he does,
guys.
Man.
Like, this is,
we need to hit him up.
He legit. Listens to our podcast and he's like,
These guys are stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop
this
listening
is how
to
he,
this.
He comes down after a long day of being a lawyer. He listens to us idiots.
He's like, I feel like I need to listen to stupid people.
I need to listen to Toronto accents to just let my mind at ease here.
Yeah.
So anyways, he says, under clothing, footwear, and headgear is where he likely filed the trademark.
Facts.
Where zip ties and quotation marks would distinguish his shoes and clothes from other people's, rather than, say, under printed matter, where people would commonly want to use quotation marks or packing materials, which would include zip ties. Okay.
Makes sense.
There's still 2.5 more messages. I think he sent a bunch because they were cutting him off and they wouldn't let him.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let me take a breath. So people don't expect to see zip ties and quotation marks in relation to shoes. That's why he's allowed to trademark them in relation to shoes and clothes. It doesn't mean he owns the right to use zip ties and quotation marks for all purposes.
Truth.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Furthermore, the trademark is only infringed if it is copied exactly or in a way that causes a likelihood of confusion on the part of the public. This is a vast oversimplification, but it gives you the gist of it.
It does.
Don't worry, man. This is not oversimplified at all. Yeah. This is still complicated. It would not be infringed if, for example, someone zip-tied some shoes together to transport them, or someone put a quotation on a shirt that didn't look like an off-white quotation. Okay, almost there. My laptop just went to the screensaver that I've been reading for. I think that if you understand how limited the rights are and how they are trying to strike a balance between not letting people rip off unique products on one hand, but allowing people to use words, images, and so on in the context in which you would expect to see them in on the other, you can better understand the reasons as to why there was a legal dispute in this particular situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying who was right or wrong or whether there was an infringement, but many people do not understand this aspect of trademark law, and I think it sheds important light on the discussion.
It does.
He says, anyways, rant aside, it's too late, man. Frankly, I'm delighted to finally be able to have something to contribute to the show. I love the pod, even though I miss Alan's infectious laugh, and keep up the good work. Love from Gareth Tilly, Highbrow Sneakers, London, UK, lawyer and sneakerhead.
Gareth, thank you.
Thank you, man.
That was dope, man.
He says he's happy to be able to contribute to the pod. He just literally, like, this is how many
that
words
was a discussion.
This is how many words I write when I write out the outline.
That was a
for
discussion.
That was deep. No, do you guys cool, understand? Because I don't. I don't.
He's very lawyer. You know?
Yeah, man.
He's
like,
definitely
that was
a lawyer.
More well written than anything I've ever written in my life.
I don't want to write anything ever again.
And that was in the hello, Instagram man. DM.
No, that was dope. It definitely shed some light on, you know,
it's interesting.
Yeah,
Virgil's aspect of things.
It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I personally still think it's stupid as fuck, but
I do too.
At the same time, like, I get it. Like, I definitely understand more, and I get where Virgil's is coming from.
Because he was the first one to do it.
Yeah.
And it distinguishes his product from everyone else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. Because I guess you could even go as far to say Nike has a check mark, no one else can use a check mark. Like, it's just a check mark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is my teacher, when she gives me a check mark, copyright infringing?
And yes.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Highbrow Sneakers gonna get you. Thank you again, Gareth.
Hi, that was dope. Yeah.
That was good, man.
I'm assuming it took much less time to write than it did for me to read and understand.
We just got lawyered, guys.
We got lawyered. Now we have.
I feel like, good, though.
Now we have legal representation, though. So if we ever have any
That's
more
true,
questions,
man.
Yeah, we just have to pay for his flight from London, England.
No, he's rich enough. He can pay for our flight to go over there.
Thank you for the education, bro.
Yeah, man.
Thank
that
you
was dope.
For that free business law class.
Yeah, real talk. Like, I don't have to go to school anywhere.
So, next and last up comes from, well, it was about the same thing, but two people tried to check us on it. Jay from Time and Sneaker Life Husband. Two old guys who know a lot about a lot. both of them let us know that there is, in fact, a Jeffrey Jordan. Last week we were unsure.
Yeah.
I think I might have even said that sounds like a fake name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the week before when I wasn't here, you guys were also like, is it Jeffrey Jordan? Does that name even make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jeffrey Jordan is Michael Jordan's oldest son.
True. But Marcus is the one with the store?
Yes.
Nice.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's I don't even want to say now. I don't know if there's another son. Like, but the crazy thing is Jeffrey's name.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Very weird.
But he's
even
Michael
weirder.
Jeffrey Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's full name is Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah. Wow.
He is the eldest.
So nice they named him twice.
He is the eldest.
That's very weird.
They should have just named him Michael Jeffrey the second.
That's very Michael Jordan.
Or Michael Jeffrey Jr. Michael Jeffrey Jr. Jordan.
That's too many J's.
So?
It's a lot. It's like a tongue twister. That's a very Michael Jordan thing to do, though, to name your son your name.
Yeah.
But mix it up a little bit.
He's like, no, you can be me, but not quite me.
Yeah.
Like, you're not quite
You're
me.
Not going to be me, though.
So thank you to Jay from Time and Sneaker Life Husband for giving us a little bit of education there.
Jay from Time.
Yeah.
If any of you hear any mistakes or want to correct us on anything, please try.
Or educate us on something.
Or educate us. I like the word educate better.
Gareth.
Gareth.
Yeah, I feel like I should send him like a thank you payment for teaching me.
Airmail that to London's gonna be expensive.
Trademark.
Consider this trademark. Your thank you note, Gareth.
You're the bomb, dude. Yeah,
you're the bomb.com. And
wow.
Jay from Time and Sneaker Life Husband. Aaron. Thank you too.
And Timbo.
Thank everybody. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We have been...
We're not done yet.
Next up, we have a soul poll. It's been a couple weeks since we've had a soul poll. So the question we asked everybody this week, very relevant, very timely, because we're very good at that.
Yes.
Does Kawhi's performance in Game 7, or just, I guess, overall, increase the value of his sneakers, which were already very limited? Let's not forget, I think there was only 232 pairs of each, I think was the number.
Uh-huh. How many?
232 is what I heard.
Crazy.
That's not official, though, so I could just be making that up. Who knows? Very limited, sold out very quickly. It's his first shoe with New Balance. There's a lot. It has a lot going for it already.
Yeah.
But does his performance now, similar to, I guess, like a Jordan or a Kobe, where they performed well, so their shoes were more sought after, does that increase the value of his shoes? Your guys' thoughts before we go to the soul poll. What do we think?
Hell yeah.
Just a quick hell yeah?
I don't know. Let me expand. Hold on. Let me think. Kuzo, go ahead.
It's iconic. It's going to be one of those images that's going to burn in every Torontonian's mind right now. I'm still thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think worldwide, it's going to just be one of those.
Shoe.
It's the first.
Because
first NBA.
He was wearing that shoe.
Yeah.
Which that's the main part that I didn't even take in until actually Joel mentioned it today. Mm. Like even if he wasn't wearing that shoe, I think the first Kawhi shoe to come out, especially because it was around the time that he hit the shot, is what we're calling it, would have increased the value of his shoes.
Yeah.
But because he was wearing that shoe, the Omni One, I think is what it's called. That specific shoe. And it was already limited. It came out around the same time. It's his first shoe. It was designed by him.
Mm. He wore it for Game 7.
He wore it for Game 7 for that shot. It's in all the pictures. It's got a lot going for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very niche market. I don't see a lot of individuals paying high prices for it. Like, it's not like a Jordan 1 where it's going to just fetch money because it's wearable. Yeah. But it's one of those pieces where the right collector, like a Raptor fan or New Balance Raptor fan, like, it just falls into a very niche market where some people are going to need to have that shoe.
I wouldn't even say New Balance Raptor. I'd just say Raptor fan.
Just in general.
General.
Raptor sneakerhead.
This was
individual.
Such a huge, it was like revenge. Yeah. It was like
the whole redemption.
It was everything put into one, and just how it went down and like.
Just everything.
Right? Kawhi's reaction.
Yeah.
That's the most reaction we've gotten from him. For he doesn't react a lot.
The thing is, watching it, when I was rewatching it
100 times, and I can still rewatch it 100
times.
I
still watch it every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching it right now. I was actually looking more at him than the shot.
Yeah.
As crazy as the shot, literally once in a lifetime, that shot, if he shoots it a million more times, it's not bouncing on the rim four times and going in.
No.
Yeah.
I was watching his reaction because all the emotion that came out of him, the way he embraced his teammates, the way he literally just was crouched down and then exploded I wanted to cry. I wanted to shed some real thug tears and be like, yo, that's my dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was not joking when I put on my Instagram story, I'm going to buy a Kawhi jersey. I literally the next day was hitting up friends hey, you guys have any Kawhi jerseys? And the answer was no, they're sold out.
No, they're going to be sold out for a while.
They're
going to be sold out for sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely incredible. We're kind of digressing off of the actual question, but
yeah, but people
that was like, that's one of those things in 10 years, you're going to say where were you?
Yeah.
That's one of those all time.
Yeah.
Bro, even... I'm not trying to jinx it, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. If we don't go on to the finals, if we don't go on to win, which I think we have a good chance to go to the finals, even though the Bucks are a really good team, I still think it's it is the greatest moment in Raptors history.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the craziest moments in NBA history. Obviously, the first time there was ever a Game 7 buzzer beater ever.
Yeah. Ever.
Ever. The last time I think that it was anything close was actually Jordan who did it, but it was in Game 5. But that's an all-time thing, and we got to witness it. And I guess we'll bring it back to the shoes. And he was wearing the New Balance Omni One that just came out. That was limited, and it was different color. And he designed it. And
beautiful.
I think it would bring the value up for sure.
For sure, I think so too.
Yeah.
What was our consensus?
What was it?
68-32 split. 32% of our voters said no. 68% said yes.
Yeah.
And I honestly could see why people would say no. Mm-hmm. I get it.
It's New Balance?
A New Balance basketball shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not something you can wear casually.
Yeah.
And if you had it now, if I had that shoe, I wouldn't wear it anyways. Like I said, it's a collector's item more so now than a sneaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still think it's a niche market. So I could see why people would say no.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know how you were like last week, you're like, oh, because I see Kawhi wearing them now, I want to have them and I want to wear them. I think a lot of kids are going to want them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids that are growing up in the ball.
Jomar's asking, man.
There you go.
Yeah, he wants them.
Yeah, there like you go. Even before the shot, the infamous shot, when he broke them out with the different, you know, the different colorways and stuff like that. He wanted, like, hey, Papa, do they have them in kid sizes?
That's what I mean, man. All these young bucks, like, even the teenage kids who fit into men's sizes are going to want his shoes.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening, or for the 32% that said no, just really quickly here, I pulled up StockX. I'm actually, I have goosebumps right now because I'm kind of pissed that I didn't buy the shoe. So the shoe retailed at $200 Canadian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we remember that, and it sold out in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The last sold pair in a size 9 went for $999 Canadian.
For the one, not even the package, just for the one.
For the basketball
shoe. For the Omni 1.
For the Omni 1.
Shit.
$999.
Well, both size 11. Can you check out size 11 real quick, Doc?
So that seems like an anomaly because the other ones are going for around 5-ish.
Oh, wow.
Size 9. Okay. $999.
Goddamn.
Was the last sold. Not even listed. That's the last sold price. The last sale for a size 11, $942.
Oh my gosh.
So maybe not an anomaly.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy.
I gotta save up.
That's actually incredible. Honestly, big ups to New Balance because that's now one of their highest reselling shoes. That's actually nuts.
I feel like this, like, Kawhi is single-handedly putting New Balance on the map back in the north.
Yeah, and for a different reason, they were already on the map.
Not in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not Europe yet, but like I feel like it's getting here, man. Like, it's getting much bigger. I mean, it's here, but like now with Kawhi, it's like here. Because he's wearing all the classics off the court, so he's making the classics hella cool.
Yeah.
And now he's making their ball shoe like hella cool, man. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's not just a dad shoe anymore, man.
I'm actually like shook that it goes for that much.
I'm happy it goes for that much, to be honest.
The 997 last sale was $318. So
that's not bad. That's attainable.
More modestly priced.
That's attainable.
So I guess that really does answer the question that the shoe that he hit the shot in
is the shot.
It's the shot.
The shot.
There's and I feel like pairs, and it's only going to go up.
Unless New Balance re-releases that specific shoe, it's not going to go down.
It's not just hype.
No.
Because that's the shot, bro.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though.
Like, what?
It's crazy,
that's,
man.
That's wild. I didn't think that it was going to be that high.
It is, man.
I'm shook right now. Very shook.
Because now everyone's going to want to try to play like Kawhi.
Yeah. That's a collector's item now. It really is. It's like Kobe's 81-point game against Toronto. Like,
yeah.
So, you know how, like, PJ Tucker is, like, stunting? There's going to be a stunting shoe, bro. If you have this on court, you're stunting, bro.
True story. Yeah.
With that price range, like...
It's a $1,000 performance shoe. Yeah. We don't see that anymore from anything.
Like, even LeBron's don't sell like that, bro.
Not even close. Limited LeBron's don't even go for that much.
No, they don't. So this is crazy.
That's actually nuts.
And it happened in Toronto.
I'm shooketh right now.
Toronto.
Shooketh.
Should have tried harder to get that shoe.
Damn.
We were eating... What were we eating? Lasagna.
We were eating lasagna.
Lasagna.
When it dropped. Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, cool. And then I just closed my phone. I'm a big idiot. On to the next, I guess. I'll just buy the next shoe that is like the best shot in Toronto history. No big deal. I'll get another chance. Next up, we have NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot. So in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. I believe it's my turn.
It is.
It's my turn.
It is.
So we're going to stick some basketball stuff here.
Okay.
But not in the form that you would think. It's actually kind of an interesting story and question to follow up. So in the Raptors playoff series against Philadelphia, it came out afterwards. I don't know if you guys know that Serge Ibaka is tri or quadlingual.
Ooh.
He speaks three or four different languages.
Jeez.
So Serge Ibaka speaks French to Pascal Siakam, Spanish to Marc Gasol, and English to everybody else.
What's his fourth language?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just know those ones for sure. That's why I mean he might be quad, because I feel like there's going to be another one in there. But
probably.
I don't know. But anyways, so on defense, Marc Gasol and Serge would actually speak in Spanish to let each other know which side they want the double team to come from.
Oh, my God.
On Joel Embiid, who only speaks French and English.
Yeah. That's crazy. So
there's a bunch of different languages going on here. So my question, do you think it should be mandatory for kids to take a second language up until grade 12? Because right now it's you have to take French up until grade 9, I think, only.
Yeah, and you choose to take...
Yeah, it's an optional course after that. Because I don't know about in the States, but I know that instead of French, they take Spanish. Do you guys think it should be a mandatory thing up until you graduate high school, or is up until grade 9 good?
I personally feel it's helpful. I took it up with grade 12.
Me too.
Not that I can speak French fluently, but I can definitely understand it
better. You can get by, for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it would be helpful to be mandatory.
It's an asset to have, for sure. What about you, Joel? You have a kid who's going into...
Oh, for sure, man. Like, being bilingual or multilingual, it's an asset for you.
For sure.
As you get older. And and it's something that we push on Jomar, who's like learning French right now. And then, you know, we're trying to teach him, you know, the mother tongue of Tagalog and stuff like that. So for him to, like, know different languages will be an asset
for
him.
It opens so many doors, man.
Mm-hmm. So many doors for when he gets older.
It's nuts. There's literally jobs that will hire you only if you speak French or if you speak another language or whatever it is.
Toronto slang isn't a language, guys. So sorry.
Unfortunately not. No. It's just ugly English.
It's a slang.
So I think it should be necessary for sure.
Facts.
Good talks.
Good talks.
Good question.
Thanks, man.
I respect Serge so much, man.
That's
and
crazy.
And Gasol. That's amazing.
That's super cool. That's definitely the reason we
start talking Tagalog when we play ball on Thursdays, bro.
They would just...
I wonder if any of them can, like, understand, like, no.
No, half Giannis, the people we play with are brown.
Yeah, Giannis can't really talk to anybody else.
He can't speak any language.
Greek? Yeah.
No, his English has gotten better.
It's better, but his English is, like, on par with mine, which is, like, bad. So, so the main discussion, we're just going to do a little quick one because it's actually been a lot longer episode than I thought it was going to be.
It's been a pretty good episode.
It's good, man.
But the main discussion topic, just based on like a lot of the stuff that we talked about this week with Kawhi's performance and the sneaker politics thing, and you could even say Supreme's Jordan 14, like there's list goes on and on. And actually Alvin's fire round question as well, all kind of revolved around hype. Yep. So Kawhi's sneaker value obviously went up with the hype. It's an iconic thing, but at the end of the day, it is just, it's
still
hype.
Yeah, for sure.
So the main inspiration was just meant to be the Travis Scott thing, but it turned out that pretty much everything we talked about this week kind of revolved around hype and what it drives and what it does. So why don't you, Alvin, give us just a definition or like a, what is hype to you? Like, what is it encompass? What does it mean? All that kind of stuff.
Oh, shoot.
Please.
Oh, my God. All right. Well,
hype.
It's like this. All right, bruv. Hype is something that builds excitement around a specific thing.
Yeah, like thing or event.
Like excitement. I don't know what else I could use for hype.
It gets the people going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's basically
pretty much, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what causes hype? Like, we just listed a couple things. But typically, like, these are, honestly, like, the Kawhi thing is obviously not a regular
like
thing.
Like, an event. Mm-hmm. A monumentous event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A fake word, event.
Yeah.
Monumentous.
Monumentous.
Monumental.
Mm-hmm. Monumentous.
Moment. I don't think
that's gonna cause hype. Watch.
Monumentous hype.
Oh,
that's no, not old. That's someone's new Instagram name right now. @monumentous hype. So
bite off of me.
Yeah,
first.
What do you guys think can cause hype? Like, there's obviously like monumentous events, like Kawhi's shot. But like, there was no the shot for the Travis Scott ones. There was no the shot for the Supreme collaboration that went viral over the weekend. Like, what causes this hype, Joel or Alvin?
You go first, guys. Go ahead.
Like, where is this coming from?
I think it just comes with like the whole media push. Like,
yeah.
With social media, you know, talking amongst each other and then just building the hype until, like, you know, something eventually gets there and it drops. You know what I mean?
So was it always like this before? Like, I'll ask Alvin again, like, what causes hype? Because I'm sure he has a lot of swear words to say what causes hype. But, like, was it like this before where there was hype the same, I guess, is my question. Because hype levels can change, like, excitement levels can change. The way people react or the way people do act because of hype can change.
Mm-hmm.
I think that lining up for 2 hours for a raffle now, 10 years ago, would have been unheard of. Like, raffles 10 years ago were unheard of. Like, I never entered a raffle until probably Yeezy 2s is maybe the first one I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, how has it changed? And what do you think changed it? And, like, how was it before?
Social media definitely changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
For sure.
Like, Instagram changed it.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight Instagram.
Instagram, then YouTube, I would say. It might be the vice versa. But I feel like once you got on Instagram, it was, like, you needed to be better or as hype as the people that you were following.
It was that whole influencer thing. Yeah, you think the influencer thing, people wanted to be like these quote-unquote cool people.
Yeah.
But does that even make sense to you? Like, this is kind of a digression, but does the whole influencer thing even make sense? Because to me, it doesn't. Like, I don't see an influencer on Instagram and be like, I want to look like them.
We don't, because we're the same age as half of them.
That's true. Like, I may appreciate it, be like, that's a cool fit. Half the time, it's trash, to be honest. Like, all these pages with 10 million followers are literally just, like, the worst dressers, and it's just all hype stuff.
Yeah.
Like, literally a Supreme outfit head to toe that looks like crap, and then some off-white sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, the reason that these people are famous is because they dress this way, and then everyone wants to emulate them because they want to be famous.
Yes.
Or, but then no one, like, what differentiates you? So why are you going to be the one who comes up? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. That's why I never really understood hype in the first place. Like, I understand it, but I don't get people who just want to only purchase hype shoes. They don't care what it looks like. I mean, maybe they do like some of the shoes, but there's no way that in particular, every single hype shoe that comes out, you need it. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense because you're going to look like everybody else. And that seems counterproductive to the idea that you want to look cool.
I think it's because, like, half of the shoes that are hype are very limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So because of you being able to get that limited shoe, it all of a sudden turns you into that, like,
that person, that dude.
You
know what I mean? So that's what it is, man. It's like you being able to, or wanting to be able to get to that stature and
by having what other people can't have.
Yeah. Or by getting what other people can't get and shit.
Getting what other people can't get.
Yeah.
So how do, like, cause it's kind of interesting because there's stuff that isn't hype that turns hype.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff that is hype that turns not hype. Like, what do you guys think causes that? Like, we could say, this is the easiest example I can think of on top of my head, like SBs, like Nike, like Dunk Lows. They were always pretty cool. They had, like, their niche following. It was kind of underground, and it came to the mainstream, and it kind of fell back down, partially because, like, trends changed, and partially because the Nike SB line itself just kind of dipped a little bit. Yeah. It wasn't, like, what they were putting out before. But now it's, like, disgustingly hype.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the new stuff, it's just the old stuff. So old stuff that once was decently hype is now incredibly sought after, and people can't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could say the 350s, Yeezy 350s, were the thing to have. People were, like we said, lining up 2 hours for a raffle, and now they could care less. Like, they sit on shelves, new pairs come out, and I don't even hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we know everything, but I didn't, like, half these pairs come out, I didn't even know until the day it comes out.
Yeah.
And before, you couldn't stop hearing about it for a year.
Yeah.
Like, what do you guys think does that? Like, what reverses hype, I guess, would be the question. Like, sometimes it goes opposite. Like, it'll tank or it'll skyrocket after the fact, rather than, like, we've been talking about hype beforehand. What causes a ripple effect to affect it later? Because I don't know if I have an answer for that, to be honest.
I don't know. The way I think about it is, it's what, how do you say this? It's like, it's what the, like, you know what I mean? Like the popular people, like, you know what I mean? Like people that kids look up to kind of thing. Like whoever's out there, like Travis Scott, for instance, once he starts breaking out the older SBs, that's when the question starts going. Like, what are those? What are those? And then somebody's going to put up, okay, he's wearing Dunkles, or he's wearing, like, you know,
what the dunks,
whatever, right? Yeah. And then people are just going to go look at it, and they're going to pull up StockX, and they'll be like, holy shit, like, this is how much they go for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why he's wearing them. They're really expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to be like this, so yeah. I need to get, you know what I mean? It's that whole effect of Instagram.
Influencerism.
You know what I mean?
So, that's a good word.
I think that's
that might be in Webster's dictionary next year.
And like, even with the whole Supreme stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody give two shits about them before.
It was cool, but it wasn't like it is now.
Like it is now, yeah.
Like, stuff was attainable.
Yeah.
Like, much more attainable.
Yeah.
So, you guys think it just comes down to it being a status symbol at the end of the day?
Yeah. Well, that, and I feel like once the market gets saturated with everything, and once something isn't so limited, and once something is available to the general public to purchase, like the Yeezys, it no longer is something that is that much sought after. I mean, obviously there are still people who want to collect all the 350s, because one, they like the silhouette,
so they're the ones who are in it obviously now, for not the hype.
The other ones who are quote unquote in it, they're just in it for the hype. And you can see it on the YouTube videos too, bro. Like,
because we heard, like, there was, bro, I think it was like 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. The amount of people that I was hearing, Team Three Stripes, Adidas, or Checks Over, or
sold
like whatever.
All my Jordan so I could buy Adidas.
Like, all power to you if that's what you really want to do and if that's
still,
what you like.
Are you still that now, though?
Or yeah, keep that same energy is what I mean. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. So you think that it can just come down to an oversaturation will. Because like you said, once it becomes not a status symbol anymore, people are on to the next. Can you guys think of anything that has always been hyped?
Jordans.
But like anything specific that like from the day it came out, it was up there and then it never dwindled no matter how much stock came out. Like,
yeah, it's obviously like the OG specific colorways.
Yeah.
Any bread colorway.
Like bread ones.
Any colorway he's kind of won a championship with for the most part.
Do you think those are the ones that beat that whole idea of oversaturation? Like, bread ones have come out maybe 8 times since they first came out in 1985, and still they fetch 500 plus at a retail of 215. So oversaturation obviously didn't kill it. Seems like it made it thrive, to be honest. Why do you think it is for that kind of shoe not a factor?
I honestly feel like the Jordan 1 has some sort of timelessness to it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what era you were born or what generation you're a part of, is that one shoe, even the colorway, like just the colorway itself, is just that one colorway that regardless of who you are, when you were born, what era you were born, like it's dope.
It's like the exception.
And you can
like
rock it with anything.
It's literally the one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like in terms of the other colorways, like the other ones are tied to like, you know, monumentous occasions, or like stuff that he's done, you know what I mean? So it's like the Kawhi.
Do you think that stuff still matters to people now, 30 some odd years later, after he's retired and stuff?
Probably not, but that's how they market it.
Do you think that's why I think maybe that's why it was cool.
Yeah.
Like say in the 90s or the 80s or whatever, the Jordan 1 or whatever other shoe, Bred 4s with the shot over Elo. That's why it became iconic, like the Kawhi. That's why it became cool.
Yeah.
So that's why it was in the limelight.
Yeah.
So everyone else who got into the game afterwards was like, the Bred 4s are cool because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the people who got into the game after them, learning from the people who just got into it, are like, the Bred 4s are cool, and they lost the because of this.
Yeah.
They just know that it's cool.
It might be different now.
Yeah. I feel like now it's just because when Johnny, 12-year-old, got into the game in 2018 or 2019, he knows that people older than him appreciated this shoe. He doesn't care why, but he knows that everyone else thinks this shoe is iconic. So he then thinks it's iconic. So it's kind of like a broken telephone of hype.
Yeah.
Where it kind of, the message kind of gets lost, but the hype has maintained itself.
Yeah, and it's also different. I feel like it's different sources of hype.
Very true.
So, like, for Joel, the bread for is monumentous.
Monumentous.
Because, I hate that word so much.
Because
big word.
He saw Jordan hit the shot over Elo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Lawrence,
me,
you think it's cool because you saw Kid Cudi rock it with a leather jacket and some tight-ass jeans.
Yeah. Mm.
Before anyone was rocking tight-ass jeans.
Yeah.
And it looked wicked on the freaking bread for. You know what I mean? So that's why, like, I mean, Kid Cudi is still cool and relevant now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the kids who are getting into the bread fours now might be thinking it's cool because of Kid Cudi as opposed to the whole Jordan thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's kind of cool to see the chain of hype because Kid Cudi probably wore it because Jay-Z wore it in whatever year you said it was. And Jay-Z was wearing it because he saw
Jordan
hit the shot. Yeah. So it's like a broken telephone of Jordan wore it and then Jay-Z wore it because Jordan wore it and then Cudi wore it because Jay-Z wore it and then I wore it because Cudi wore it and then Jomar wears it because Tito Lawrence is wearing it.
Yeah.
And then it's just like I said, it's like a broken telephone where the message getting lost why it was originally cool.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why somewhere in there. It's a consistent reason. And it's just that's actually really cool. So you guys think that the Kawhi has that potential to become one of those timeless, maybe in Toronto, I think.
In Toronto for sure. Like a timeless sneaker,
just one of those things that like people are gonna remember.
Oh, for sure. Once they see that picture,
because that picture he has his foot up, you can see it. Like it's very, it looks like an advertisement for New Balance, to be honest.
It's crazy. Like sideways.
Yeah, it looks like he's showing it off
on purpose.
Yeah, it's like he's like, yeah, look at this, how much this deal is worth.
Oh man.
So when did you guys see it change? Because I think for me, at least, I remember there's A side, B side. I remember exactly where and when, like, the hype train started chugging and it just was like night and day. But can you guys think of a time, like a specific occurrence or event when everything changed? I feel like Alvin would remember a time for him because we were working together. I don't know if Joel has one, but what do you think, Alvin?
It was one of the 11s drops where there was actually a lineup and people were fighting.
Concord 11s.
In Canada. Yeah. In Canada.
Concord 11s. Mm. That was the first Jordan 11 that we didn't have pre-order for, I believe.
It was half and half for that one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I remember because I got two pairs off of pre-order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had the inside.
Champs didn't have pre-order. That's
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But right. I feel like the worst for me was the Bread 11.
That was the year after.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was for me when we started being able to compare ourselves to
the States
in terms of like sneaker releases and people lining up and going crazy over stuff.
It's crazy because I feel like that year, whatever year, 2013, maybe I'm just guessing some early teens year for this, but like I think the Bread 11 was fortunate to come after the Concords because I think the Concords started that hype. And I remember working at Foot Locker and for months and months after people were coming in asking, do you have Concords?
Yeah.
Do you have Concords? And that had never happened up until the Concords came out. Like the Space Jams would come out, a week would go by and it would just be sneakerheads asking, is there any left? And then it would be over with.
Yeah.
It was literally weeks and months going by of people asking, do you have Concords? Do you have Concords? And then the next Jordan 11 to come out was the Bread 11 and that's when it hit.
Mm.
But I think it was the Concords that started it. And then around the same time, I guess it would have been 2 months later, the Galaxy Foamposite.
Yeah.
Like for me is like, it's so clear that after that shoe came out, the game absolutely changed. And if anyone was in the community around that time, I think it was 2012. I guess it would have been 2012.
Yeah.
They remember the absolute chaos that was going on to get that shoe. Like once they announced that it was limited, it was one of those, like, I don't know, man, it was just something about it. Like it was so different. It was like the first time in a long time that I can remember where it was like a Nike basketball shoe was super limited, like South Beach LeBron 8s. It was like sprinkled in, but this was one of those, like, it was attached to the All-Star game and it was a Foamposite in the peak of Foamposites.
Yeah.
Like it was a perfect storm. And then they came out in Orlando when there was riots and there was helicopters, like police officers trying to shut down the releases, and people were lined up in New York for a week and a half waiting in a tent to get them.
Crazy.
Like, I just remember it changing from then on and it has not been the same since then. And if anyone listening to this was not in the game at that time, just like look up videos and like read articles about what happened during that release, and you'll see like that was the precursor to what happens now. Like, this is disgusting. Before that, like we said, it was pre-orders.
You could pre-order an issue.
You could walk in pre-order a Jordan.
Pre-order my Space Jams.
Yeah.
In 09.
I pre-ordered every single Jordan 11.
Yeah.
And just walked in. Well, I mean, we worked there, but like we walked in at 3 o'clock and just bought them with our gift card.
I remember when I picked up my Concords. I had my homeboy, Sumo.
My
Shumo.
Shout out to Shumo. He actually... Like, yeah, man, he held my pair. Like, you know, people lined up. People lined up and whatever. But I walked in at, like, in the afternoon, and he actually had to, like, double bag my box.
Just in case.
And, like, duct tape it and had, like, no... It was at Foot Locker.
Yeah.
So he had, like, no stripes on it at all.
Just like, so you it was just like tell, a, you couldn't
was,
tell what it was.
It was just a plain gray bag.
Yeah.
Like two bags.
Because he didn't want you walking out.
And he was
out.
Like, you got to walk out. Remember, you just got to walk straight to your car.
Damn.
There's people outside just like, you know.
And it was waiting. Never like that before.
And man. It was never like that.
Like
it
was that was, never we heard like stories that. About that, of like that happening at the Staple Pigeon Dunk release in like 2002. Like that was just like an unheard of thing that sounded like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And then it was like reality.
Yeah, for sure, man.
All of a sudden, it was sprung on us that, like, this is real now. Like, this isn't underground anymore.
Nah.
We're not going to conventions with 30 people anymore. Like, this is, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, man.
No, it definitely
it's crazy.
Concords, for sure, yeah.
Concords, you feel it, right? So, do you guys think it's going to sustain? I think I had this conversation, actually, with Anna, A to the Bed, the other day. I don't remember what we were talking about, but we got to the discussion of, like, when's it going to end? And like when are we going to find out who's really about it? Like, do you guys think that we've peaked? I know we've talked about this before, but have we peaked? Have we plateaued? Are we dipping? Like, what do you think?
I don't know if it's going to dip anytime soon.
No.
I don't think it can.
I don't see it.
It's like a self-sustaining machine at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, like, but it's
just feeding it off.
Yeah.
And it's just building up.
I don't know. I found that a lot of the heads that I was growing up with kind of died down. And they were like, yo, like, I can't do this anymore. Can't sustain it, and they stopped.
But you cut off the head of the dragon, and two more heads take its place, kind of thing. Like, this older guy's getting out of it, but then the three younger guys are, like, jumping in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but are those guys doing it for the hype or for...
The hype, that's what we're talking about. I mean. The hype is just driving itself at this point.
Yeah, yeah. No, the hype's never going to die over. Down, man.
Yeah.
So long as you have, like, celebrities and social media and shit, like...
I think as long as there's money in it, too.
It's not going
to... There's... lots of money to be made in all this hype.
Oh yeah. Tons, bro.
Like, I think NetMag posted it. You could walk into Foot Locker or wherever if you want a raffle, buy the Travis Scott's for $235 Canadian plus tax, $270-something, and it's an immediate $700 bill in your hand.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Slept.
Like, someone, they basically, you paid them, you gave them $200, and they gave you back $1,000. Like,
Yeah.
I think StockX has a huge... part to play in this as well. I mean, we talked about like the money and we talked about the influencers and social media, but like before, when something would come out, you wouldn't know what it's going to go for afterward.
No.
There was no like pre-orders and all that kind of, like, there was no like StockX to be like, okay, this shoe is going to go for $500. If I buy it, I'm going to have a come up. Or you can check what it's selling for on StockX, which is a worldwide marketplace. So if you walk into the store and they have a fucking Roche run that happens to be selling for $800 in Asia, you can buy it and sell it, and now, like, it's like I said, it's a self-staying machine. Like, StockX definitely plays a huge part in this whole hype thing and the money hungry side of it. I just wanted to get into that a little bit. You guys have any more closing remarks on hype? Anything you want to say? How do you guys feel about it? Has it ruined it for you?
We just buy what we like, man.
Yeah, so it hasn't really affected you. The only effect I feel from it is it's just harder to get the stuff that I actually want.
That's true.
Which is the only problem for me. I don't care if people want to cut each other's heads off for shoes I don't care about. Be my guest. Yeah.
But, so like, are you talking about stuff that you actually want that's still releasing, or stuff that you actually want that's already released?
Both. Anything that happened, like, I mean, the example can be used now with SBs. Like, for the longest time, I was just chilling because I knew I could, any time I wanted, I could buy any SB I wanted for under $200. Like, friggin' Dunkles, like the $250 Dunkels like, was a thing 5 years ago, and now they're above $1,000.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there was that, and there's also even new stuff coming out. Like, if I happen to like a hype release, like the AJ1 SB coming out, the Laker one that turns into the Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. It's so cool. Like, as soon as I get it, I would dip it in some nail polish remover and turn it into a Chicago right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's going to be impossible to get because StockX shows that they're selling for $800.
Mm-hmm.
So that means everyone's going to go after it because they know it's literally a free $600 bill in your hand.
Yeah.
So for me, it sucks in that sense. But then there's the stuff that I like that no one else cares about that, so it doesn't affect me in the slightest.
Yeah.
Like I said, if I don't care about it and people want to cut each other's heads off for it, be my guest. It's only when I actually care that I'm taking a look and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
Has it ruined it for you? Do you feel a little bit turned off sometimes? Because I do, for sure.
I find that now I'm more weary of shoes that I think I want.
Because
don't get me wrong, the Travises are dope. The backwards swoosh is a very cool concept. But once I like actually got to look at it and like the hype was at its peak, I was just like, nah, man. Not worth lining up for, not worth like anything, to be honest. In my opinion, obviously it's cool because Travis Scott's collabo, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And it's a nice shoe. That's the problem. Like, it's actually nice.
It's honestly, like quality's dope.
Yeah.
But like for me, I had a white and brown SB back in the day that it's literally the exact same. It was a low cut. Black swoosh, it's just swoosh wasn't backwards. It was a low cut fucking Travis one. Yeah. It's just Travis one didn't exist.
It looks like the Stussy SBs, just less pink.
Much less pink, but they're literally SB. It's like a Baroque brown, white and brown with a black swoosh.
Yep.
I had those and I was just like, cool. And I sold them off. So, like, why am I going to fucking buy a shoe that I sold off years ago for so much more now? And like go through the struggle of doing it.
Yeah.
So now I'm like very weary of anything that's coming out that's new. And it's just like, do I really want this? And it's just like, meh.
Yeah. So it has turned you off a little bit, huh?
No, it's gotten me to turn towards shoes that I actually need. Sorry, I never need shoes.
We always need shoes.
That's shoes that I actually want in my collection kind of thing. Though it would have been dope to have the shoe and probably just flip it so I can get something that I want. But I have a job and I don't need no part-time job, so fuck that shit.
Real shit. How about you, Joel? How has it affected you? Has it turned you off at all? Has it ruined it? What do you think?
For me, I'm like really selective.
Yeah.
On what I want to get or choose to get. But it hasn't really like fazed me at all.
No, you don't really care?
I don't really care. It sucks though, because like you said, like if you do want to get a pair, people are already, you know, on StockX looking at how much they're going to get for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, that's what they're pretty much copping for, is that easy flip.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sucks for anybody just who wants to get that pair to rock, because you just can't, because you got to dish out like, you know, 2-3 times worth the shoe.
Yeah.
Just to get the shoe.
You get lucky sometimes though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the Bred 4 release, I was leaving Aaron Mills from picking up my pair. And I saw H-Mon. And I was like, oh, you're picking up your pair? He's like, nah, I'm just hoping that they have an extra, I think, 10.5 or 11.
Yeah.
And the rule, if I'm not mistaken, is after 3 p.m.,
yeah, it's like
if
you don't pick up your pair,
they can sell it.
Yeah.
So they were already there. I was there for like 3 hours just talking to them.
Yeah.
Because depending on the Foot Locker, you can walk in and just talk to the people that are there because they're just mad cool.
Yeah, it's half the
Aaron Mills is like that.
Yeah.
I love it over there. I could just walk in and talk for 3 hours. I was there for probably 2. Maybe 3.
Maybe all day. Just worked a shift.
I could have. I was heads up all the time. But so there were 2 people there already waiting for all the sizes that were extra. And I was like, yo, just like offer something.
Yeah.
And then H said that he ended up buying it for $5. $5 over retail.
$5 over retail.
Yeah.
He offered a guy $5.
No, the guy was asking for 20.
Oh.
But then he pulled out the Tito card and he's like, oh, you're Filipino. And it was a Tito. Like, it was a Tito who was like trying to resell it.
Yeah.
I guess he just wanted a second pair or whatever because he picked up his pair previously.
Yeah.
But he's like, okay, fine. So H got like a pretty good deal. It was out of that, or he drove the 306, right?
Yeah.
It's like gas, time, and shit. So
that's
like,
a lot more than $5.
It might have been $20. Whatever. Either way, regardless, $5, $20, you got a fucking good deal.
Yeah. That sucked. Yeah. Dope. So there is still good people in the world.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Titos and titas and shit.
Yeah. That's why it pays to be that Filipino white guy. Trust me. Thank you to everybody who has supported and or been a part of this podcast. Wherever you're taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook group that we like to use as a forum, sell stuff, and connect with you guys. That is facebook.com/groups/cgs.talk. We've got a website for our reviews, recaps, stories, and much, 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 much more. That's canadagotsoul.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any segments like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Don't forget to use the hashtag Canada Got Soul on Instagram for a feature, and keep an eye out for Shoe Haul 2's announcement coming very soon. I have been Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
Thank you to listening to for listening to us talk about shoes for 61 episodes. Please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We are CGS, and we are out. Peace.
You said it was a short episode.
Yeah, it's never a short episode.
It's an hour and 43.
Holy. No, it wasn't.
Without editing. We got to edit.
We got to edit out, though.
An hour and 43.
What's a short episode? We don't do that.